Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down, and they sorted the good into containers, but they threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and we welcome our pastor emeritus, John Ed Matheson, to the pulpit today.
A few years ago, I preached a sermon on a dirt road church in an interstate world. It was about the church moving up to where people are and changing the culture of society. I got a phone call from a little Baptist church that was actually on a dirt road and not far from the interstate, and they asked me, could you come out and talk with our leaders, and we'd like to be a more effective church. I went out and had a great time. Now, it was the Boone's Chapel Baptist Church. I wish it had been a Methodist church, but it was a Baptist church. And they said, we want to reach and change our world. And they had a Sunday school class. Now, like a lot of Sunday school classes, they would come in and talk about how bad things are. And they were talking about this atheist who had gone to the Supreme Court, and they were going to remove under God out of our pledge and in God we trust off of our coins, and was in litigation. And they were complaining about it. And then this one member said, you know, if we're going to change the world, let's quit complaining about somebody and do something about it. Let me suggest, if you hear folks starting to complain about how bad things are, ask them, what are you doing to change it? And they said, we need to do that. I said, what do you want to do? I said, let's invite that guy from California, Michael Newdow, who is the atheist, to come visit us here in rural Autauga County. And they wrote him, and he said, I'll come. I get $4,000 every time I speak. He said, we're not inviting you to speak. We're just inviting you to come, and we want you to be a part of our church family for a weekend. And you know, he did. And he came into the airport here in Montgomery, and they met him. And the highest profile atheist in the United States spent a whole weekend with that little rural Baptist church. And when he was asked later, he said, why did you do that? He said, because they invited me. And he said, what's interesting is I've had Christians cuss me out and leave me terrible messages, but it's the first time I've ever had an invitation to attend a church. That's why I came. And let me tell you, there are a lot of people like that. He came because he received an invitation. Now, they've continued. Mr. George Turnipseed is the one that I heard this from. I talked to him this week. They still are in touch with him. They were going on a mission trip to Africa. I'll show you a picture. They asked him if he'd like to go. And Michael Newdow said, I'd love to go. The highest profile atheist in the United States. And he went to Africa. And then there's a beautiful picture here of a chair that's empty where he was sitting with the rest of the platform group. The person had just gotten up. And guess what the topic was? How to become a Christian. And if you'll notice, it looks like he's even taping or recording what was being said. One of the things they did whenever people would accept Christ, they have a flat soccer ball, and they would take it, and if you became a Christian, they'd blow up the ball. You're now filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, could I blow up the balls? Now listen to me. The highest profile atheist in the United States and a little rural Baptist church is having an impact on him. I asked Mr. Turnipseed, do you keep? He said, yeah, he's been back on several occasions. We talked to him on the phone just a couple of weeks ago. You see, it's easy to complain about how bad things are. What God calls us to do is to change the world and to change the mindset of how we think, and we begin to see what we can do in it. Now, today is the last sermon in the series. It's been going on for several weeks. Today, it's about evangelism and about sharing. They asked Newdow, why did you go? He said, because somebody invited me. Do you know that when I was pastor here, we used to ask people, and one year we had 800 folks join. How did you hear about the church? Why did you come? We had great music, great location. We were on television and had a great music. I wish some of them would say because of the preacher, but none of them did. 85% of them said, I came because a friend invited me. So that's our topic today. The passage that was selected for us is from Matthew. And we're going to have 3 points here. Now, if you'll take out your outline and follow along, I love what Kathy said about the outline. I remember my son, Si, sitting over here, said to me one day, man, I like that outline, Dad. And I was impressed that he knew we had an outline and did that. And I said, what do you like about it? He said, I can look at that and tell exactly how long it's going to be before you get through. And you can fill it in right there as we go along. 3 things I want to say to you now about evangelism and about where we are today. First, what is our priority? What is the priority of the church? In the 47th verse, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and it gathered fish. Now, he was talking to fishermen. They knew how to fish. Fishermen don't sit around and just talk about how bad things are. They put the nets out. The church needs to quit talking about how bad things are and put the nets out. And if you look at Matthew 28:19, this was the last command Jesus gave us. He said, now go into the world and make disciples. Let me ask you, church, what don't we understand about go? Most of us like to sit back and say, why don't y'all come? Most folks like to fish by saying, we'll push the boat out and put a sign on the front of it that says, all fish welcome, jump in the boat. You don't catch fish that way. You catch fish, you catch people when you go out into the world. An interesting poll recently showed that if you ask people in America, are you a Christian? 2/3 would say, we are. The other 1/3 are not. Then they ask this interesting question. Do the ones who are Christians have any responsibility for those who are not Christians? And do you know that a majority of the people said we have no responsibility? In other words, we're not going to do that. Can I say to you, this was God's priority for the church, is to catch fish and to bring people into the kingdom of God. It's so easy just to sit back and complain and talk, do we go? Let me give you 2 examples of this. And I'm going to give you several examples this morning, and all of them I've been engaged in and involved with in the past 2 or 3 years. We had a guy come and join the church. Well, he came to church the first time. His name was Anthony Lee. He was the assistant treasurer of the state of Alabama. He moved to Montgomery, and he came to church. A group of folks invited him. First Sunday he was here, he came up to me and he said, Dr. Matheson, he said, I love this church here, but this church is bigger than the town I came from in North Alabama. I said, well, it's really small when you get into a group. I'm thankful to him for talking about that. And boy, he came back and back. I said, how'd you get here? Were you invited? Who invited you? He said, I couldn't tell you, John. There were so many that invited me, and he became a vital part. He asked me, he said, after being in Montgomery, I can't share my faith in state politics in the state house. You can't do that. I just think God might be leading me to something. I said, what about Huntington College? That's my alma mater. I said, it's a Christian school. You can do that. He got a position there at Huntington, and he continued in crew over the next 15 years. He told me one day, he said, John Ed, let me tell you what happened. This week I had 3 students at different times ask me on campus a faith question, and I didn't have to worry. I could say anything I wanted to. I led them to Christ. Now, let me tell you, that's when it is. Nathan, I had the privilege a year ago to participate in his inauguration, or whatever you do to a college president. He's now the president of Huntington College. And he told me this week, I wish I could be there Sunday morning, but he's speaking. He's someplace in Florida. He said, do you know that this coming fall, in about a month, we have more college students coming to Huntington than we've ever had in the history of the school? And I just predict that with his leadership, it's going to be even more. He's great in that. I think I see a guy stand up. Hold your hand up. Carson, this is, stand up. This is a new basketball coach at Huntington College, little fella. And he's already, he hadn't moved in yet. Or I guess you just did this week, and he's been here. And thank you. Boy, you're in a great college, and you're doing some amazing things. That's one of the just perfect examples from this church. Now, let me give you another example. And this example follows of what you're doing so well. I love these screens. You know, when we put these screens up, when I put them up, I had everybody in town criticize me, said, what are y'all doing, making a stadium out of the church? I said, no, Methodists are just slow, and we need to put stuff up there so they can read it and see it. And now most churches in town have screens and have streaming and have television. And I tell you, God's just opened doors. The digital ministry. I wrote a book about 6 or 7 years ago on change. And I've spoken at a national convention there about change, introduced the book. And a couple of years later, my beautiful wife, Lynn, sitting here, said, John Ed, when are you going to read your book? Maybe you need to be changing things. I said, wow. Maybe you're right. She said, if you realize what the internet can do, hear me. There are a lot of places missionaries can't go in the world. There's no place the internet can't go. And the internet can go and reach people that missionaries will never reach. And you never know where they are. She said, why don't you do a video? A 1 minute. She said, it's for Methodists. Our attention span is short. So 1 minute would be a good one. I said, nobody will watch it. You know, we had over 20,000 people watch the first one. And my eyes were open that there's a better way to share the good news. And then we started doing, I do an early morning, every morning of the week. I got a minute. It's 1 minute long. We also started doing a blog each week. And today we send out thousands of those. And then we do this video every week. By the way, if you look at your outline for just a minute, on the bottom of it, you'll see a place. Under the outline, there's a squiggly little thing called a QR code. Ask your grandchildren what that is and how to use it. And I just invite you to sign. All you got to do is do that, sign up for any of these, and you can listen. Let me tell you the good thing about the internet. If you don't like what you hear, you got one button you can push and it's gone forever. I'll just encourage you to do that. There's one thing that's not on there, by the way, that I do every morning at 10 o'clock, good news. And my granddaughter, who is getting ready to go to seminary to learn and become a doctor's degree, she's already got a master's. Hold up your hand sitting over here. Stand up, Healy. She's going to be on it this week, every day. At 10 o'clock, and it's on Facebook. Now, you can't sign up for it. Facebook, you have to go every day. And it's for the next couple of weeks. And I've learned so much from her. Let me tell you, digitally, you can reach people unbelievably. One of the things we started doing was a podcast a year ago. I didn't know what a podcast was. People started talking about AI, and I was trying to learn to spell it. I can't even do that yet. But let me tell you, you can take a podcast and unbelievable things. One of the people, if you'll go and just look, Katie Britt, our senator, one of the strongest witnesses that I've seen anywhere, and a great leader is changing this nation, Katie Britt. If you like sports, this month, they say on a month, this month, one of the outstanding women basketball coaches, college in the United States, Shonda Rigby, is on it. And if you've ever eaten a chicken salad chick sandwich, there are 300 restaurants. The lady that started it will be on next month. And she tells the story about her life. What I want to say to you is the priority of the church ought to be to bring people to Jesus Christ, to invite people in. And most churches have gotten away. I'm grateful to be a part of this church, which still has that as a priority. Let me ask you, are you a part of that priority? Are you? Remember this. The last command of Jesus ought to be the first concern of the church today. And remember this. A good thing to know is that the main thing is to keep the main thing, and keep it the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Are you doing it? What's your priority? What's our church's priority? You see it there in the 47th verse. Now the second thing, and I'll be a little more quickly here, is the procedure. Look how the fishermen fished. They had a net and they pulled the net out, and then they gathered the fish of every kind. When the net was full, the men drew it ashore. Now, when you put out a net, you don't fish for a certain kind of fish. You take whatever's out there. And when the net comes in, you've got every kind of fish imaginable in it. Now, hear me carefully for a moment. Let me tell you what the church needs to be doing today. It's to take John 3:16 seriously. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Listen, that whosoever, you know who whosoever is? It's everybody. Whosoever. Now, sometimes people are taught, if you want your church to grow, be homogeneous. Invite folks that are like you. Jesus didn't invite folks just like him. He invited anybody. And when they came, can I say to you that a church is best of the church when we say that these doors are open to anybody and we want you to come in, and it doesn't matter where you are, who you are, what you've done. Can I give you two quick examples that I've experienced just this week? One is, there's an organization that it's a men's program. Last Tuesday night, over here in Wesley Hall, we had 460 men for a dinner. And in that, they reaches out to the whole river region. Now, let me tell you, you'll find bank presidents and people getting out of prison. You'll find every educational level, every kind of race. Listen, it doesn't matter who you are. I'll tell you this, that I think is the most diverse group in the city of Montgomery. You'll find every kind of person, whoever comes, and guess what? You're welcome. You're welcome. That's what the church ought to be. That's Tony Staton does that. What's the stake? Man, if you're not going anywhere, it's always whatever last Tuesday. Was that the third Tuesday of the month? And it's right here. The reason it's Fraser is because we outgrew every other church in town. And we got the biggest room for that. And boy, it's making a difference. Let me give you one other example. There used to be a Church of Christ next door. We bought that church. They moved out to Halcyon. It's called Landmark Church of Christ. And it's they have a program called RSVP. Their 25th anniversary, I was invited to speak for it. And they have about 80 people every Wednesday night who are recovering from alcohol, drugs, gambling, any kind of addiction. And let me tell you, it's a great, great group. I love going out there. It's a Church of Christ. Did you hear that? And they let me come out there and speak. In fact, I was going to introduce the pastor, said, "Hey, RSVP, it's been going for 25 years. I don't know of any church anywhere where a recovery program has lasted for 25 years and people are still a part of it." And when the preacher introduced me, he said, "We're glad to have John Ed here." He said, "We take in prostitutes and addicts and drunks and Methodists and anybody. We take anybody in here." I'd like to say to you, anybody, hey, come. That's the procedure. Everybody. Doesn't matter. Now, the last thing let me mention is the prophecy. I'm going to give you a prophecy. This passage ends with, it tells you what's going to happen in the future. He says, "You sort the good into containers, but you throw away the bad. So it will be." Listen, it will be like that at the end of the age. "The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace." What are you going to take to heaven with you? First, do you know that you're going? And what are you going to take? You're not going to take any money, any clothes. The only thing you're going to take is somebody. And if you take somebody to heaven, that'll be the most important thing. You know what we're here for? We're here to change the population of heaven. Our task as a church is to make heaven crowded. Because let me tell you, one day in every person's life, there's going to come a judgment. And that judgment, what are we going to do? What kind of people are going to be? Jesus said it this way. There are two ways. One's broad and a lot of folks are on it. The other's narrow and you won't be in a traffic jam on that road. But it's the one to heaven. Now hear me carefully. Listen to me. Look right up here for a minute. A lot of folks want to say there are three roads. And a lot of folks teaching that doesn't mean there are a lot of ways to God. That's not what this book says. There's one way and one way only to God. And that's through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. That's the only way. Now, always, so-and-so died. Oh, I'm sure they're in heaven. People ask, I don't know who is. I'm not here to judge. Hear me. It's not for me to judge. It's not for you to judge. He said the angels are going to come. They'll make the decision as to where we spend eternity. Can I just give you one more example? One of the things that I love doing, and what's interesting to me is, hey, the thing I dislike worse most about being a pastor was writing. I didn't like writing. Do you know what I'm doing all the time now? Is writing. I mean, every week, I got to have 20 different one-minute messages recorded. And that's every week comes around every week. And have to do that. But let me tell you, one of the things, and several newspapers care, the blog I write, I wish you would just get it and you sign up for it and you'll get it. We send out thousands of them each week. Let me tell you what happened. Somebody sent a blog, copied it to a guy in Arkansas. He copied it to a guy in Nevada who was a big basketball coach, but now he's coaching financial planners. His name is Tom Bartow. He read about the stuff I'd written about two great ministries here in this community. One is Valiant Cross Academy, that's making a difference in the lives of a lot of boys, and also Ken Austin's ministry. Let me tell you what happened. He said, I'd like to do something. Those boys at Valiant Cross, they're about 300 guys down there now. Read about it. You can't believe. He said, I'm going to send a check to you. Give it to those Brock brothers and send 50 boys down to the beach. And then he said, they're going to need some spending money, aren't they? I'll send them $100 a piece, 50 of them. But then he said, I want to teach them something about giving. He said, teach them that we're going to give this to them, but let them give back. They need to give, receive, but learn to give. And so they said, all right. Then he told me, he said, John Ed, don't tell them, but I'll double whatever they give. Those boys gave back of the $100 they had over 10% apiece. They said, what do you want to do with it? They said, let's give it to Ken Austin. If you don't know about his ministry, read about it. He's feeding people. They wanted to feed people. In fact, let me just say, this Thursday, he now feeds 500 folks a day. And he cooks it all on a little four-eye stove. But the old Corsina restaurant has been given to him. Spent over $1,000 redoing it. We're going to cut the ribbon this Thursday at 10 o'clock. If you want to see an experience. And they'll enable them to cook maybe 2,000 meals a day. And somebody's given a food truck. In other words, this guy, Bartow, he said, I want them to learn to give. And they took 10% of their spending money and gave it. And then he said, you know, doubling is not good enough. If I'm going to tell them, I better do it. He said, I'll give 10 times as much as they give. And boy, that was a ministry to Ken. Now, let me tell you. He then said, you know, we got 4th of July coming up. Y'all realize we did that. 3 weeks ago. He said he's going to feed 500 folks. He said we need to teach people today about in God we trust. We need to raise up patriots. We need to raise up folks today who believe in the country. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll give a $10 bill to all 500 that he feeds. And I said, how are we going to get that many $10 bills? Ken Austin said, that's no problem. I'll take care of that. You saw him there. But he also said, I want to give an American flag. And you saw this. I want to teach them about in God we trust. And what a marvelous ministry. Now, here are two things in this town. Valiant Cross Academy, Ken Austin, that are doing miraculous things. And I tell you, they're teaching folks to receive and to give. But in everything they do, it's in God to bring them to Jesus Christ. I just conclude by asking you the question, what are you doing? When the judgment day comes, who's going in? Now, I know we all like to say, isn't there some middle ground? Isn't it, we've been taught today, it doesn't matter what you believe, God. Hey, look, this book says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Hey, friends, that's you and me to share that good news. You know what I want to be? I want to be a nobody who's telling everybody about somebody who can change anybody. And anybody here can be that kind of nobody. What are you doing with it? What are you doing? Fishermen know how to fish. And Jesus said, catching fish is good. Catching people is what we're really about. How good are you fishing? How good are you going fishing for what really matters? You know what's the greatest failure in life, I think? The greatest failure is to be successful at something that doesn't matter. And there are a lot of folks that are trying to be successful at something that doesn't matter. Are you being successful? The most successful thing that can happen is for us to be good fishermen of men. We're going to receive communion in just a moment. I like it that y'all call it communion. Some churches call it the Last Supper. At my age, I don't like the Last Supper. This is the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. When you have a chance to come, hear me now. When you come and take communion, you say, Father, I'm here. I'm ready to go fishing. And as you participate, may it be an impetus to us to be what God wants us to be. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for this church. I thank you for what it's doing now. For the staff, for Chris, and for all the leaders. God, I'm just proud to be on this fishing team. Thank you. In Jesus' name.